Amen. I chose a song called Heart of Worship. And the reason that I chose that song is just because I believe when we're coming into worship, our lives, I know there's so many different acts of worship, but specifically when we're singing, I've learned over the past few years there's different ways to worship the Lord with our hearts, but it's all about our hearts. It's not about what's coming from here. And I used to always tell my kids that it's when we take our heart's affection and our mind's attention and we put it on Him, and that's when we're really coming down to the heart of worship.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you. Sorry, Lord, for the thing I made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, to the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. When it's all about you,
I would invite you to grab one of the pew Bibles in front of you and turn it to page 1873. Page 1873. If you have your own Bible, we're looking at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 to 25. You'll find that on the back of the bulletin if you haven't quite gotten there as fast as I've spoken it. So on the back of the bulletin, Hebrews 10, 22 to 25, and that page number is 1873. Over the last couple of weeks, we have talked about Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus' death on the cross is for the forgiveness of our sins so that we might have life. Like Cheryl mentioned, it is every Sunday for us is an opportunity to put our trust in Jesus and to put our faith in Him. And we can do that because He died for us on the cross. We also learned over these last couple of weeks that Jesus rose from the dead and He appeared to many. Now, when you think about Jesus' death on the cross, his resurrection, how are we called to respond to our great Savior? The first step is always to put our trust, put our faith in Christ. But once you've done that, where do we go next? What does that look like? Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 to 25 gives us some ideas. Maybe you've been stuck in your Christian faith for a while, and you're thinking, like, well, what's the next step for me? What am I supposed to do with this faith? Well, here's some ideas. So let us pray, and then we're going to look at Hebrews 10, 22 to 25. Gracious God, we thank you for your wonderful, awesome, holy word. Lord, we pray that you send your Holy Spirit upon us. Fill us now that your word sinks into our hearts, so that we come to this with faith and trust in you, and that when we read your word, it just makes sense to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how do we respond to our great Savior? Verse 22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord. And if you want to put your finger on that page of the Bible, I'm just going to start off by talking about verse 22. Let us draw near. Let us draw near. Drawing near to the Lord. Now that we have faith in Jesus, we are called to get close to Jesus. How do you get close to Jesus? Well, certainly that's through Scripture. We develop reading habits where we're regularly in the Word of God. We develop a habit of ingesting good preaching, where you're learning and learning more about the Word. And that could also mean going to Bible studies, those kinds of things. So getting close to Jesus through the Word of God. We also do that through prayer. And prayer is something that you can do anytime. I remember one time I was driving a group of youth, and we were coming home from a mission trip. We were about 5 minutes from home, and I know that when we got back, they were all eager to see their parents, to get out of that van. And I said, you know what, before we arrive, let me pray. And they said, okay, but since you're driving, don't close your eyes. When you're driving, you can pray to the Lord. When I'm riding my motorcycle, I'm sometimes just yelling out, thank you, Lord, this is so much fun. You are so awesome. So we are called to draw near to the Lord. And when we draw near to the Lord, we are to do it with a sincere heart. We're not just doing memorized prayers because that's what we're supposed to do. No, we're praying with a sincere heart. Can you use a memorized prayer with a sincere heart? Certainly. Certainly you can do that. And you can also pray extemporaneously, that's a big word, but you can pray by just talking with the Lord. Dear God, I thank you for the opportunity to share this message with these wonderful people. We can pray wherever we are. And I think about a sincere heart. Maybe this is an area that you've struggled with. There's a popular song right now about a fellow who has found himself struggling with this, having a sincere heart when it comes to the Lord. His words of his song are kind of crude. I'm going to leave a few words out of his lyrics, but maybe you've heard this song. And to me, it seems like his words are from a sincere heart. Somebody that has maybe been far from the Lord, but is now realizing that he should get close with Jesus. He says, and by the way, this is from a fellow named Jelly Roll. He says, "I only talk to God when I need a favor." I think that's his confession. "I only talk to God when I need a favor, and I only pray when I ain't got a prayer. So who am I? Who am I to expect a Savior?" So he's paid Jesus little attention until he really needed him. He said, who am I to expect a Savior if I only talk to God when I need a favor? But God, I need a favor. Did you catch that? I only talk to God when I need a favor, and I only pray when I ain't got a prayer. So who am I? Who am I to expect a Savior if I only talk to God when I need a favor? But God, I need a favor. That's the kind of wonderful Savior that we have. Even when we know we've messed up, when we haven't talked with our Savior for a long time, and we are in desperation, we can still call out to him. That's how great our Savior is. So we are to draw near to God with a sincere heart. Maybe you haven't done that for a long time. Maybe you're in the same place as Jelly Roll here in this song. But you know what? You can call out to God today, right now. And we are to do this in full assurance of faith. Full assurance. God's going to hear our prayers. Even if we're not that good at praying, God is going to hear our prayers. Don't be afraid to come boldly before the throne. Come boldly. Jesus will provide you mercy and help in your time of need. We have a great and awesome, wonderful Savior. We continue on with this verse. It talks about having our hearts sprinkled. Our hearts sprinkled. What are we talking about here? We're talking about being sprinkled by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus' precious blood spilled on the cross for us so that we will have life. This is the forgiveness of sins. This is Jesus dying on the cross for us. Our hearts have been sprinkled. When we come to Jesus in repentance and faith, we are sprinkled in the blood of the Lamb, and we have forgiveness. And that forgiveness, it cleanses us from a guilty conscience. It cleanses us from a guilty conscience. We are now, because of our repentance and confession in Jesus, once we do that, we are now cleansed from a guilty conscience, and we are free from guilt. Free from guilt. When we have Jesus, we are free from guilt. We are set free from those past sins that we had. And it makes me wonder, have you been raking yourself over the coals, over past sins? Do past sins come up in your mind over and over and over again, and you worry about those past sins, and you continue to rake yourself over the coals with those past sins? Stop torturing yourself. Stop torturing yourself. When you repent, you are free. You are delivered by our great and awesome Savior. There is no reason anymore to continue worrying about those past sins. Jesus covers them all by his precious blood. For real, this is what Jesus does for us. This is the good news of the gospel for us. Jesus, he has brought you living water. You've been washed with pure water. Satan and sin no longer clutch your soul as they once did. You are free. You are delivered from bondage to sin. No longer do you have to worry about it. Jesus has accomplished it all on the cross for you. So, verse 23, continuing here. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. There is some real danger out there. There is some real danger. Real danger of breaking away from Jesus and the church. Maybe things don't go the way that you hoped for. You prayed and prayed and prayed one particular way and it didn't go that way. Watch out. Hold on to the hope you profess anyway, even if God answers you in a different way. Maybe you've been faced with severe trials and you've questioned things. Hold on anyway. Maybe you've had other Christians let you down. Maybe you haven't gone to church for a long time because other Christians have let you down. Hold on unswervingly to the hope we profess anyway. Hold on. Or maybe you've gotten into it with another church member. Again, we're still called to hold on. Hold on unswervingly to the hope that we profess. Why? Because the one who promised us eternal life is faithful. Hold on. Even when things don't go the way that you would like to see them go, even when things go bad, hold on because Jesus is faithful. Jesus is faithful to us, and he will, even through trials, even through temptations, even through issues, he will guard us from the evil one. And his love never ceases. He is merciful, he is gracious, and he will never let us go. And here in verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. We have a tremendous issue today that we are continually faced with, and it's this idea that we are okay by ourselves, that we are we can do all of this faith thing alone. We don't need each other. We're okay by ourselves. This is a continual issue today. And there's a question that I found this week that maybe you hadn't considered before. Do you believe you need encouragement from others to maintain your faith? Do you believe that you need encouragement from others to maintain your faith? Do you need to have fellow brothers and sisters giving you encouragement? Should that be a part of your faith walk? The answer is yes. Yes, we all need encouragement from one another. We need to be encouraging, and we need to be receiving encouraging words from one another. This should be an atmosphere of fellowship where we are encouraging one another. Sure, like I said, sometimes other Christians let you down. Or maybe you've gotten into it with another Christian. We are called to make every effort to come together and working through our issues in a biblical way. So, the writer of Hebrews continues, then, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Stick it out. Walk graciously through tough times. Withdrawing yourself from fellowship with other believers is spiritual defeat. We're called to do this thing together. And then finally, the last part of this verse and the end of the message here, but let us encourage one another as you see the day approaching. We're invited today to think over our interactions with one another. When you think about your interactions with your fellow brothers and sisters here at our church, have you been encouraging? Have you been silent? Have you been withdrawn? When you think about your words here amongst our church members, are those words ever meant to tear others down? How have your interactions been with your fellow church members? And have you been encouraging? We are called to encourage one another, to build each other up, not tear each other down, but build each other up in faith, because the day is approaching. Jesus is coming again. We sang that a little bit earlier. And who knows? It might be soon. So, let's be ready together, responding to our great Savior by encouraging one another, drawing near to God together with sincere hearts, with full assurance of faith, together holding on to the hope that we profess unswervingly, no matter what comes our way, all because Jesus is faithful. Now, before we pray, I would like to give one announcement. Let us join together for prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for hearing our prayers. We thank you for allowing us to draw near to you. And Lord, as we're drawing near to you, Lord, help us to spurn one another on. Help us as we are called to encourage one another in the faith. And Lord, today we lift up Lois Smith's family to you. Lord, we pray that you walk with them in a mighty way, that you bring your mercy, your peace, and your grace to them. Lord, give me the words to speak to that family on Tuesday. But Lord, above all, we thank you for the life of Lois. We thank you for everything in her that was faithful and kind. Lord, we loved that woman. And we thank you for drawing her to yourself and for rescuing her, delivering her. Lord, there are others on our list that we also lift up to you. Lord, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Trust and obey. trust and